We're told that video games are getting more and more sophisticated, but this story came as a bit of a surprise to us. Are you ready for Hamlet, the video game? This original blend of video games and the Moody Dame gets its world premiere at the Forge at the Court as part of the Christchurch Arts Festival. Hamlet is the brainchild of Simon Peacock, who's uniquely suited for the job. A one-time court jester, Simon's now a video game director for Montreal's Deus Ex company. Simon says the video game industry is big business and highly sophisticated.
You know, we're talking a lot of the writers in video games now come from film and television previously, sort of transition into it. As far as scripts and characters are concerned, you're dealing with much more characters in a video game. We're talking, you know, hundreds and hundreds of characters. The scripts have become enormous. You can have, in some scripts we've worked on, a sort of 4,000 or 5,000 pages of script, which, you know, obviously for a film or TV, that's just an impossible amount to get through. So in that level, and then of course you've got the technology behind it, which is making things increasingly sophisticated, trying to make it more interactive and more immersive is sort of one of the terms that gets thrown around a lot. Trying to create a form that is both entertainment and completely immersive and evolves and changes with different people playing it is sort of the peak of where it's headed for, the pinnacle.
That's a huge amount of script, but how much story can video games bear before it kind of gets in the way of the game?
Yeah, it's an interesting form in that storyline is still, in most cases, secondary to gameplay. We often talk about the fact that a game can have a great story and miserable gameplay, it won't sell at all. But if it has a miserable story but great gameplay, then it can still become a hit. So at this stage, story is still number two, but that's changing. There was a big game last year called The Last of Us, which some people might be familiar with, which sort of set a new high bar as far as actual storytelling is concerned. That's being referenced a lot within the industry now, so more and more companies are looking at that and saying, hey, we can make a great, compelling story at the same time as having great gameplay. And that's sort of the holy grail now, is to sort of have both. For me, that's what makes a game compelling, is the story something interesting? Does it draw me in? Do I want to know what happens? Do I want to know how the characters evolve and change throughout the story? Or am I just going to be pressing buttons? You know, for me, having the story there as well is a much better thing. And I think it's also an interesting, different way of telling stories than film and television is as well. I mean, because of the fact you have to bear in mind that the player is going to be changing things, you have to then take all those different permutations of what could have happened into account and then still try and make a cohesive story. So it's a really interesting challenge for writers in particular to try and figure out how to make that work. And then you've also got an evolution happening in gaming at the moment, which is to what's called episodic gaming, which is kind of more the television model, which is every month or so they release a new chunk of the game. The biggest example of that recently would be The Walking Dead, which was very successful and again had some really interesting storytelling in it.
Yes, I could see how that could work as a video game. But what made you think of Hamlet?
Well, I wanted to make something that was accessible to theatregoers as well as video gamers. I didn't just want to do a show that gamers could come along and enjoy. So the idea then was we had to find some common ground. So with Hamlet, it's a well-known story. It's a well-known piece that anyone who loves the theatre can come along and they can see what we've done to it to make it into a video game. They can see that we've added, you know, some fights and things in there that certainly weren't in the original. We've changed some of the characters to make them into video game stereotypes. There's zombies, of course, because it's now a video game, which isn't in the original. So hopefully people can see that. And then it was also the challenge of it's probably the worst show that Shakespeare wrote to convert into a video game because it's essentially 4 hours of dialogue and 5 minutes of action. So
and many internal monologues.
So that was part of the challenge. That was like, that's kind of what appealed. A little bit of a masochistic streak, I guess.
And how many actors do you need to make this work on stage?
Need would probably be 50 or 60, but in actual fact, we're doing it with 4.
Of course.
Yeah, because again, we like to make these things as difficult as we can. So we have 4 actors who are all tackling multiple roles. I think we have 25 costume changes in there as well, and improv elements. So it's a little chaotic, which is, you know, it's what I like in theatre, that sense of anything can happen, and in this case possibly will.
But yeah. How much of the original play is there, and how important is that to still honour Hamlet and the ideas within that really complex play?
Yeah, it's still really important. I mean, you know, it's one of the greatest plays ever written for a reason. So you don't want to mess with that too much. We're trying to keep the basic plot elements are still there. It's still largely about Hamlet's internal conflict and how he's going to resolve issues. It's just there's a lot more fighting in it than there was in the original.
Well, there were some good sword fights in there, but I guess you've got more, have you?
Yeah. And it's not so much sword fights as, you know, chainsaws and machine guns now. But, you know, it's taking slight liberties with Shakespeare.
I think people have done this for a very long time. What about the role of the audience? Because we've looked at video games, Simon, and of course, one of the huge appeals of video games is the interactivity. It's what makes them amazing. It's why you're not watching a movie. You know, you actually have a say in it. So how can you bring that sense of interaction and involvement from an audience with a stage play?
Yeah, well, that's where we're bringing the improvisation in, and that's why the cast is made up of four really strong improvisers with a good background in that field, so that we can take some elements from the audience that are going to change the plot, change the show every single night. But in much the same way with video games, it's about choosing which moments do indeed get changed. I like to talk about video games a lot, having the illusion of choice. You know, games companies will tell you there's a million different ways you can get through this level, which may be true, but at the end of that level, you always come back to the same point, no matter which way you went through all of that. It's always that common next sequence. So the player's a little bit structured that way as well. There's elements that we're going to take from the audience very early in the show, and they're going to remain consistent throughout and change our plot. And then there's some sort of little plug-in moments where we're going to take something for the audience that's going to be instantly used, and that'll be sort of it for that particular suggestion.
It's kind of a nice idea, too, about getting video gamers away from their screens and into the theatres. And is that your hope, that this actually will kind of plug in to that huge, huge market of video gamers? I think people perhaps don't understand just how big it is.
Absolutely. I mean, as far as scale is concerned, I think to talk about Forbes magazine, I think it was 2012, films worldwide grossed about $27 billion US, and that same period, video games grossed $64 billion US. And that gap's continued to widen since then. So there's an enormous, enormous market out there for video games, you know, especially if you involve things like apps, you know, those games on your smartphone, Bejeweled and Candy Crush and Farmville and games like that, then the audience is enormous. And it seems largely untapped as far as the theatre world's concerned. I mean, sometimes theatre gets very, very insular and sort of remains quite traditional in many regards when it's looking for audiences. Obviously, you know, more mature audiences tend to have access to better, you know, finances, so they can afford things like season tickets, which a lot of younger people can't. So in this case, we're trying to shape a show that's of interest enough to break people out of some of those preconceptions about what theatre is, get them to come in and watch a show, watch something completely different. And also, I'd like to see it work the other way as well, to sort of show to those theatre regulars that video games aren't what they're often portrayed as being. They're not mindless. They're not, you know, they're not always violent. They're not always, you know, going down all those sort of stereotypical views that we're portrayed as quite often in the media.
Wearing your hat as video game director, Simon, the track record, we're just thinking about this, the track record of video games being turned into movies is really pretty poor.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, why?
I think it's just hard to go in that direction when you take a specific game that people have spent so much time with. I mean, a lot of these games take 20, 30 hours for somebody to play through, and you're making all those options as the player. You're in charge. And then to try and make it into this passive experience where you're sitting back and just watching it and you have no say in it whatsoever, and things that you wouldn't want to do are happening. And then you also got that, you know, people come into a movie with their conceptions of what it should be. So they're looking for it to mirror the experience they had when they played it. But of course, with all those different permutations of all the different ways you can play it, there's no way that as a movie it can reflect all of those possibilities. So I think people are often disappointed in that regard.
Do you think there'll be more attempts, or really should the two art forms stay separate because they cannot intersect?
I think eventually they're going to intersect a lot more. It's something that's talked about on both sides of the industry a lot. Like, it's very seldom now you'll have a blockbuster movie come out that doesn't have some form of a game sort of attached to it.
It kind of works that way, doesn't it? Make the movie, then have a video version. But that's the odd thing, isn't it? You can't do it the other way.
Well, it can work that way a bit. I would argue that most of those games aren't particularly high quality either. There's been a couple of exceptions, but not many. So at the moment, I think it's just going to wait until there's a team that sort of comes together early enough in the creative process where both the video game and the film teams are working together right from the get-go, from the inception of the project, so that they can both get what they need out of the program, and, you know, as opposed to coming in when somebody's already created something and it's like, okay, now do your version of that, but you can't mess with this and this, because that's all crucial to us.
Fascinating, because the amount of money invested in video games, that must be challenging the film industry now, isn't it?
Yeah,
phenomenal
it is.
Amount of money.
It's staggering, and as I said just before, the amount of money it's bringing back in is what's driving that.
What does a video game director do?
Oh, I have two main jobs. One is as a voice director, which is working with all the actors, providing all the voice work. Very much like any other form of direction, it's about getting the perfect performance out of them. the right character, all that sort of thing. And in video games, more than anything else, it's also about just explaining the context to them so they know what's going on. Because, you know, it's very hard for an actor to come in and be given, you know, here's 5,000 pages of script, good luck. Try to figure that out, figure out what happens where and how it all connects together. That's also part of my job. And then the other part that I do is what's called motion capture directing or performance capture directing. So that's working in the motion capture studio with, you know, the classic picture of the guy in the Lycra suit with all the little markers on his body. It's that stuff where we're actually getting the full body performance as well. So that's more like being a film director in that way.
Casting must be crucial. We've looked at this on the program in terms of casting voices for animated films, but just as important, I'm sure, for video games as well. Is that part of your job as well, finding the right voice, or are you going down the same kind of track as films that, in a way, the most important thing is to have a famous person voicing it?
Yeah, casting's a huge part of it. I make the suggestion to any company when they first start working with me is that casting is 80% of it. I can work an extra 20% in there, but if they cast the right people, the whole project is so much easier. So it becomes enormously important and a really involved process. We are seeing a transition into getting more and more famous people into video games for a couple of reasons. I think the industry has sort of proven itself now that there's not as much fear of getting involved, that it's going to have any sort of backlash or negative effect on their careers like it used to. And also it's just the drive from marketing. You know, if you can say, like, for example, Call of Duty, we've got Kevin Spacey in our game. You know, that's a name that so many people know, and they'll pay attention to a game that they may not have otherwise and take a look at it. And of course, in the case of Kevin Spacey, they also used his likeness. So his character in the game looks exactly like him, which gives you even more bang for your buck when it comes to marketing.
He'd have a great face for a video game. Was he a villain, by the way?
He is.
Yeah. He's perfect.
Yeah. sort of, he's riding off the House of Cards.
Yeah.
Phenomena and getting in there. Yeah.
Love that series. It's so scary. America under Kevin Spacey. What about future projects, both in games and on stage? I mean, if Hamlet really kicks off here, I'm sure it's something you could transfer back to Montreal when you go back there. I mean, do you think would you like to explore more the stage video game while the kind of film video game thing works itself out?
Yeah, because like I was saying earlier, I don't think it's really been done much before. So I think it's something unique and different. So it has an appeal in that way. And obviously, the more times we can do it, the more we can sort of fine tune it and figure out exactly what does and doesn't work. Be lovely to take it back to Montreal, because Montreal is a big gaming industry town. So there's a lot of people that, you know, we could make a lot more inside jokes there that would make more sense to that audience than they might elsewhere in the world. And then also big phenomena in North America is those Comic-Cons. Where all the big fans of, you know, comic books and video games and sci-fi and those sort of things hang out and come together. So if we could get a cast of four names from video games to put Hamlet on at the Comic-Cons, I think that could be a pretty big phenomenon.
That's writer-director Simon Peacock. You can hear more about the multi-billion-dollar gaming industry in an extended version of that interview on our website. Simon's Hamlet, the video game, the stage show, opens at the Forge at the Court Theatre on Thursday as part of the Christchurch Arts Festival.